Well, you may have heard there was shooting in El Paso at the mall yesterday, Walmart mall, and 20 people have been killed. Numbers have been injured. Early today, 9 more in Ohio at another location, more injured, and the shootings continue. There's a... I want to take you behind the scenes on that, because within the articles that have been promoted, announced, just telling, and these are just horrible things. These are horrible things for families, for the community, for the first responders, for everybody involved, for the whole country. So immediately, the statement in one of the articles said, since Walmart is one of the largest retailers of guns, obviously they have to relook at their retailing and selling of guns. So there's a political agenda tied into every announcement with every tragedy, and somebody is trying to piggyback on the tragedy instead of just lean in and offer some kind of comfort, support, direction for people. There's nothing taking guns away from normal people ever stopped this in the first place, which for some reason people don't think. So here we go, all over again. But here's the behind the scenes part of this. Same thing, same weekend. We have 600 arrested in Moscow. 600 arrested in Moscow, and other things are going on across Russia in protest against Putin, the president there. And they're arrested, locked away. How many protests have we had against Trump? Like every week, right? Hundreds of people. How many have been arrested? What's the difference? Russia decided to come heavy-handed. They made sure that the people don't have weapons, because the government is protecting them. The government should have weapons to protect them. See any correlation? Hong Kong, same weekend. They're protesting in the streets because the Chinese government is coming down on them. It's also coming down on the Christians, arresting them left and right, putting them in the prison. There was a church, a pastor, handing out Bibles for free. They arrested him because he violated their Commerce Act. So he's in prison. He didn't sell them. He was giving them away free. They are also the approved Bibles of the Chinese government. I mean, they have to have a stamp. It's just giving them away. He's arrested. The government has decided Hong Kong needs to, now anybody that is in opposition to the leaders in the government in Beijing, if they say anything, do anything, anything on Facebook, any social media, any kind of note to anyone, they should be arrested. And they have to go into mainland China to be tried, which means you'll never see them again. Because the Chinese government decided a long time ago, people don't need weapons. People don't need freedom. People don't need their rights. The government needs to control and demand and give direction because it's taking care of its people. So we have a horrible tragedy that's happened. I haven't gotten to the behind the scenes part yet. Horrible tragedy that's occurred. And we as people just need to surround others from here. We don't know them, so we can pray and you know, to at least give them that support. They are in a situation that is vulnerable. It's horrible. And it can happen here just as well. So we support one another. The direction of a group of people in our country that says take their weapons away, like they did in New Zealand. They had the shooting, you know, earlier this year, and the head of the country, she decided, well, we're just going to confiscate all the weapons. Nobody can have them. Now, you can re-register under a government mandate to shoot skeet, but we'll take them We'll just take them. So they don't have them anymore. It's not just about the weapons. It's about freedom. It's about people being able to live their lives. But it also, in terms of the government, it keeps the government at bay, which is the reason that we have the Second Amendment. And they wisely put that in there because they had already suffered under a government who said, you can't have weapons. So we had a whole war over that. We are, this weekend, Iran grabbed a British tanker, oil tanker, in the Gulf and is holding it. They've arrested international people who were on board. And so Iran is controlling the oil trade or trying to shut down the shipping in those lanes, which puts out most of the oil in that part of the world to all over. And any other country in that area, they're trying to stop. Iran is behind and proclaimed their ideal, their goal, their reason to exist is to destroy Israel. Here's this giant country, little tiny country, giant country just wants to destroy Israel. You can check your Bible on this one. They are supporting what's happening in Iraq. They set up missile bases they were going to shoot in where they could get closer and shoot into Israel. And the Israelis sent fighter bombers in and took those out just this week. And another group that they're supporting, they support Hamas. So if you hear any of that stuff going on around Israel, that's supported by Iran. Syria is supported by Iran. Daniel is now on his way. It took him, they told him on Wednesday afternoon they were leaving. They thought they were going to fly Friday, wheels up today. So we've been getting pictures of updates on that. But they're going to be there in Kuwait, which is at the end of the Gulf, to watch Iran and Syria, because they're setting up missile bases, because if that thing blows up, the oil is affected, for one, which affects all the countries, and the war that would start there could affect everything that's happening into Russia, into China. It's just global conflict. So what's that mean? There's an enemy who has an agenda, and his agenda is to destroy people, to destroy the peace, to upset whatever is going on. He loves it that China has shut down on Christianity. He doesn't want Christ proclaimed. So what do you have to do to shut them down? Well, let's make a way for the people not to defend themselves so they can't say anything. So we'll strip them of their ability to defend themselves, which means weapons. What do they do in Russia? Well, let's stop them because they've now started shutting down on Christians as well again. So let's strip them of their right to have weapons. Well, Russia wouldn't do anything. You know what? Remember that university we supported? Donetsk Christian University in the Ukraine. We had them here. The people were here. We sent people of the president. The U.S. president of Donetsk was stationed in Tulsa. Met with him periodically. And then the Russians came in. They took Donetsk Christian University, took it over because that's where they're going to put a bunch of the Russian troops. So the housing, the dormitories, the money we sent to have all those things built became a Russian base. So does it matter that we watch this stuff? Absolutely, because in a heartbeat, some crazy person can open fire. Why do they open fire? It's the enemy. What if the enemy decided, what way can I get the attention of the American people so that I can get them to be like Russia and China, so that the government can be all things and to protect the people? In order to protect the people, we have to get rid of their weapons. How do we do that? Let's have some mass shootings that scare some people. Let's just scatter them around. Maybe Texas, California, at a garlic festival, maybe Ohio. Let's just do that. And let's see if the scared people begin to vote. And then when they vote, they vote to, yeah, we're just going to give up our weapons. Now we have no defense. And soon after, we'll just decide to strip them of their right to worship. If you put, a guy just did this, a Christian guy, YouTube, he put on YouTube a video, and he was tagged it. So on the tags, he includes the word Christian. So he got shut down. Not the video. He got shut down. No more YouTube for him. Because that is a hate word. And you're not allowed to use it. A friend of his put the thing back up, used all the same tags except for Christian and put Muslim. It's fine. Who's behind it? There's an enemy who has a plan. So when you see the news, it's not just a little piece. It's not just one thing. Oh, it's somebody's opinion, this opinion. It is the enemy of every human being trying to draw them in to his agenda so that he can destroy them, which is his plan, to kill and to destroy. So we see it all over. This weekend is just an example of that everywhere. So we pray and we keep our heads on straight and we do not cave. Because if we cave, who will stand? Who will help? Who will make a difference? It's all around us. There is a great divide, which is actually the message. Heaven or hell? These are not just final locations. They represent, the future. They represent what is paradise. One represents what is horrendous. And we have both going on for every person in this world. And everybody is presented with this decision, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell is often the term used, but that's... It becomes a philosophy of life. It becomes a driving force. You can watch movies or read books, and you see people who have no idea what hell is really like, and they think it's cool. They think, well, you're bored to tears in heaven, and you have really good times in hell. That's where the fun is. Because if you live in this life, you do what's evil, you don't listen to what is good, that's where the fun is. And, of course, there's an enemy who loves people to buy into that. So we have heaven or hell, and the idea is that hell is the kingdom of Satan, that he runs it, and he, as emperor of this great kingdom, has all these little minions who are working for him who are happily going around capturing people's souls. And then they bring him to him, and he can torment, but they have lavish times because it's all a big party. And none of that is so. You read the scriptures, and you find out God's in control. Satan is not. Satan winds up being chained in the deepest, darkest parts of hell. And you go, oh, wow, he's not the king of this thing. So somehow we got that wrong. Now, he is the great dragon. He is leading minions, the fallen angels. He has that's still going on. It's a different thing. But heaven or hell is a decision people make. There's this idea that I am forced into hell because that's what God is, just angry, and God is so giving and loving. He sent his own son to make it possible for people to come into this loving relationship with him. And so people choose hell because they think it's the better choice. To be far from God is better than to be with God. To listen to God's truth is just ugly to them because they are wiser and their ideas are better. Hell, a place I choose myself. This is... a rich man in Luke 16:24, who's just talking, he's there. And he's calling out, and he says to Abraham, who he can see, he says, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." Now you go, doesn't that sound like a party? Doesn't that sound like a great thing? Wouldn't that be a future to look forward to? Have pity. Just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames. And that's just the beginning, because this is progressive. This is just a holding place for the dead now. There's a lake of fire coming later, but this is just a holding place, and that's what it is like. It's not comfortable, but it is a choice to be far from God. We're told that, 2 Thessalonians, this is destruction, separation, desperation. Those who choose that direction, they will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. So the presence of the Lord is glorious, it's goodness, it's love, it is light. That's the presence of the Lord, to have him engaged, involved in life. His glorious power has created all the things that we see, so all the things that we enjoy, all the things that are around us, from the sunrise to the birds, the plants that are growing, to the place that we live. He's created all these things. And these are people who will be consciously, not unconscious, consciously aware, just as the rich man is aware that he is in anguish in those flames. They will be consciously aware for all time, because people never die in the sense of they cease to exist. That's where we go wrong in this thing. There's no ceasing to exist. Humans live, everybody lives forever in one place or another, but they live forever. These people have chosen to be as far away from God as possible. And God gives them, because he loves them, and he gives them the freedom to choose, he allows them to have what they want. And they get to enjoy eternal destruction. That's not ceasing unconsciousness, because some people think, well, it's just like sleeping, or it's just like I'm out, and I just won't know. You'll know. They'll know. Everyone knows. But it's eternal destruction, which means it's a picture of everything in you. Have you ever had those times when you just, a horrible thing has just happened in your life, and you felt everything in you just coming apart? And you might even say, I just feel like I'm coming apart. It's just being ripped to shreds in every direction. That's what this destruction is about. Everything in the soul, everything to the center of our being, just pulled, torn, ripped, crushed, forever separated from the Lord, the love, the light, separated from his glorious power, everything that he has made that is beautiful and wonderful, because they want to be away from what he provides. They think it's a big party, and they get to take all that with them. It only happens when you're close to him. The only reason people who are going there now get to enjoy it is because God has given it to us, and he's allowed them to enjoy it too. But that day will come, and they will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and his glorious power. So that time for each person is that last breath, or if the Lord returns, the final judgment. So it's a time that's coming. We're told in Matthew 25, Jesus is describing the end and the judgment, and he talks about the cursed. And he says, the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. So initially, this whole setup was designed for the devil who had rebelled against God and the fallen angels, those heavenly beings who decided to go with the darkness. This was a place designed for them. So it is capable of holding mighty spiritual beings. What chance would a human have in that place? What chance would a human have of escaping or of enjoying any moment of being in that place? And yet people choose it. They choose it over God every day. Because the enemy is at work. He's working on dragging people into darkness. Sends out his minions. The demons speak. And some 21-year-old kid picks up a rifle and starts shooting people. It's on. And then people want to keep turning their back on the living God. Listen and believe. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. That transaction takes place the moment we believe, we listen to Jesus, we go, yep, that's it. I want to go his way. I believe in the living God. I believe what he's doing. I want to go with him. They have eternal life. No death, which means that separation from God. It's not talking about the physical death. And he's saying there is no condemnation, which means that final judgment that sends people or separates people from God, gone. Those who listen to my message, believe in God who sent me, have eternal life. Now, right now, they've already passed from death to life. It begins now. And it is a message of, we're getting to meet with the living God. It's about hanging out with him. It's not so much the place, though we have a little bit of a description of that. It's more of being with him. Even Christians struggle because they don't know God that well. So they don't know God the Father, they don't know God the Son, they don't know God the Holy Spirit. So they're going, I don't know, you know, the party sounds good. Maybe I'll just play with some hellish stuff now in this life. You go, really? If you knew God, you wouldn't do that. But people don't take the time to get to know him. Getting to know him makes a difference. Then when we spend time with him, if we're enjoying time with him now, it only gets better as we get to spend time with him there. So heaven is being with God, not being far from God. That's the opposite, being with God. And you get this picture, like Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. There are trees lining the river that produce fruit. Their leaves are bright and shiny. The colors are so much more vibrant. So many more colors than we can, because our capacity to see is so limited here, and it opens up. Heaven is being with God, and out from him flows life, like this river. It just flows from the throne of God. That's where the brightness, the light, the joy, the love, that's where it comes from. And it's flowing from him, flows to us, and we get it in some muted form, but there in his presence in heaven, it is undiluted, and it is breathtaking. Heaven is being with God, not far from him. Heaven is preferred by those who know the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. And this is Paul and his missionary team writing to the people in the church in Corinth, and he says, yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. for then we will be at home with the Lord. They know him so well that they know what's coming, and they know what they're leaving, and they're saying, I'm ready to leave this earthly body. Now, how many Christians do you know, Christian believers, been in church maybe all their lives, and they fight tooth and nail to stay in their earthly body? And we say, such a shame that they had to leave their earthly body. What a horrible thing that they couldn't stay here another 6 months suffering in that earthly body, because it is so darn important. Why would we do that? Why would they do that? Because they don't know him. They don't know him. We are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. That may cut into the old hospitalization program we're trying to run. God has a better plan. He has so much more. He has a time for us. He has a place for us. There's a time for us to be in these bodies. There's things he wants us to do, things he wants us to learn. He wants us to make some decisions and learn how to walk with him and how to live and love with and love others. That's all part of it. Do you know there's no expiration date given when you're born? Have you ever said, well, that person just, you know, they died too soon? How do you know that? Did you see that on their birth record, the expiration date? Because if you don't know when they're supposed to expire, then when is too early? We have just a young kid, 8 years old, looking death right in the face. Is it too early? That may be exactly what was planned in the first place. And maybe he's brought such joy to a family and to friends and to a community that's turning out today to pray for him, that he's already done more good than most of us in a lifetime in 8 years. But we'd say that's way too early. We don't know the expiration date, folks. Guess where he's going? Rather be away from these earthly bodies, then we will be at home with the Lord. Unless we think the Lord's going to rip us off, and it's a horrible situation, and it's so painful to have to be stuck with him, then let's extend this life. For goodness sake, let's extend this life as long as we possibly can in these little pruny bodies. That's something to look forward to. You don't know the expiration date. God has a plan. And what he's moving us toward is better than anything we can imagine now. We choose him, it gets better. We choose to go against him, it gets much, much worse. There is a great divide. All people choose. You have a chart in your bulletin to help you. This is also on the screen. This is what all people do. They choose God, or they choose to be far from God. Everybody has to do it. The result is an eternity with God, full of life, love, light, or it is life far from God with everything removed, all that is good and true and vibrant and wonderful, all of it removed, so that people can have exactly what they wanted to do it their way without God. And everybody chooses. Everybody chooses. Doesn't matter what religion they were brought up in. Doesn't matter how badly they were treated in this life. Doesn't matter what historical time frame they lived in, how much money they had or didn't have. Makes no difference. Everybody chooses. And God has something better. And he's proven it by sending his son to say, I love you. And his death on the cross paid the penalty for all sins, for all people, for all time, to make it possible for everyone to come into this relationship with him. He removed any barrier with the cross, removed it all, and it simplified it to the point that all people have to do is say yes to God. That's all they have to do. And people just say no, time and time again, and they go their own way, ultimately winding up far from God. Eternal life. John 3:36. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Just saying yes. Yes to what he's done, yes to who he is, yes to the plans he's made, to the hope that we have, not only in this life, but in the life to come, all made possible. And each one of us gets to make that decision, to believe him or to trust in ourselves, our friends, our philosophies, anything else. But all of it is far from God and leads to a very destructive future. To know that helps. What is happening in the news, what you read about, is not just an incident. It is a strategy of the enemy to destroy. And he is at work. And he is going to work through the news media, and they will report things that will try to bend the will of the people. There will be groups of people who will stir up things in the Middle East, in the Gulf of Hormuz. There will be things that will happen in Hong Kong. And there will be things that will be stirred up in the streets of Moscow. Because people have decided whether they're going to be close to God or to do their own thing. And the enemy wants us to forget God and to move his direction. So this isn't just a decision personally. When we walk with him, we have entered into a warfare. We have entered into an army. He is the Lord God of hosts, which means heaven's armies. He is the God who runs things and will ultimately take charge. For now, we get to be part of that army. You are royal citizens brought into this fight. So put on your armor, because every day matters. Choose him every day. Choose to get closer to him every day. And help those who have chosen otherwise to make better decisions. Because there is nothing better than to know the one true God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to know you. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for the future you've laid out. Lord, your plans for us are good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. We look forward to tomorrow, but the tomorrow of tomorrows is even brighter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.